This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan rasulullah. Hayya 'alas-salah. حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونستنصره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إلها واحدا أحدا صمدا لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وأشهد أن نبينا وعظيمنا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد يقول جل جلاله في محكم كتابه يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات.
There are those amongst us who will hear this verse on a minbar for the last time. I want you to take a moment and think about that. I do not know who they are. But there are people who will hear this on a minbar for the last time. Could be me, could be you. At the end of Ramadan, as we approach the last couple of meters, most certainly next Friday will be Eid. I want to remind you that it's not over until it's over. Until the Maghrib of the last day of Ramadan goes off, it is not over. Doesn't matter what you did before, doesn't matter how much effort you put in initially, doesn't matter how much time was wasted at the beginning. As long as there is 1 minute, 1 second left within Ramadan, you still have a chance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants you exactly what you were looking for, and exactly what you need. It is not permissible for a Muslim to ever lose hope in the compassion and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ever. And as long as there's time in Ramadan, there is time. Maybe he's accepted subhanahu wa ta'ala a number of people already. But as long as Ramadan has not ended yet, there is still a chance for you and me to be accepted. We can still get accepted. That last second. When you look at the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, you learn from him that this is how he thought. This is how he lived his life. He never gave up. Till the last moment, he was always standing alayhi salatu wasalam. When he went in the 10th year of Bi'atha, trying to get tribes to listen to him, when he did Ard al-Qaba'il, he went and he spoke to the different tribes. He spoke to over 26 tribes that year. 26 tribes within those 9 to 10 days of Hajj. He was rejected by all of them. It was the last day of Ayyam al-Tashriq, the last day. There are 3 days of Mina. Most people, 2 days and they leave. But there's a third day. The last day of Ayyam al-Tashriq. Right before Maghrib. Once Maghrib Adhan is done, once the sun sets, the last day of Ayyam al-Tashriq, Hajj is over. He stayed, alayhi salatu wasalam, in Mina until there was no one left. Until there was not one person left, alayhi salatu wasalam, continued to stand in Mina looking for those who would listen to him. And the group that listened to him was the last group to leave Mina because they were waiting in line to get a haircut. But because they were all 21, 20, 19, 18-year-old boys, no one would give them priority. Because all the shuyukh al-qaba'il and all the sadat al-arab would get their turn first because nepotism runs in our blood, apparently. So they stayed till the end because no one would give. They had to wait until they got their haircut. There was no one left in Mina. Everyone had gone. Everyone was gone. Everyone. 6 boys waiting for their turn to get a haircut were left. He went and he spoke to them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And thus the story that you now know. And the story that you now know came from that interaction that he had with these 6 young men from Yathrib. You stand till the end, till the last minute, till the last second. You're there. And if you do that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept you. So there's still, 6 nights left? There's 6 nights left, maybe 7? Probably not, but maybe. There's always a chance. يروي الإمام البخاري أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يجتهد في العشر الأواخر من رمضان ما لا يجتهد في غيره. Imam Bukhari tells us the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, hadith narrated to us by Ibn Mas'ud and by Ibn Umar, that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام would put in effort in the last 10 nights of Ramadan that which he would not do any other time of the year. Specifically in the last 10 nights of Ramadan, صلى الله عليه وسلم, he put in the effort. تقول السيدة عائشة فيما يرويه البخاري as well. He said, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا دخل العشر الأواخر من رمضان أحيا ليله وأيقظ أهله وشد مئزره. When the last 10 nights of Ramadan entered, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام granted his night life. أحيا ليله, he resurrected his night. You see, عليه الصلاة والسلام would pray قيام الليل every night of his life. But he would sleep as well. He would sleep a good portion of the night, alayhi salatu wasalam. Not in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Maybe an hour here, an hour there, but that's it. He was up, alayhi salatu wasalam, in prayer, and he would wake his family. He would wake his wives. He wouldn't do that, alayhi salatu wasalam, outside of these nights. Aside from Fajr and Isha, he would let people sleep. If they didn't want to wake up for Qiyam, he'd let them do that. The last 10 nights of Ramadan, wake up Aisha. Go around, waking up Fatima, waking up Ali, making sure everyone's up. You can't afford to miss these nights. You can't afford to miss these. If I love you, I'm not going to let you miss these nights. وَشَدَّ مِئْزَرَهُ, and this is a figure of speech or a metaphor for putting in his full effort, alayhi salatu wasalam. Like you're getting yourself ready for something. Also in Bukhari, the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, was told by a bunch of his sahaba, رِجَالٌ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَتَوْهُ فَقَالُوا أُرِينَا فِي الْمَنَامِ لَيْلَةَ الْقَدْرِ فِي السَّبْعِ الْأَوَاخِرِ مِنْ رَمَضَانِ. They had seen in their dreams that the Laylatul Qadr was in the last 7 nights of Ramadan. فَقَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, he said, قَالَ أَرَى رُؤْيَاكُمْ قَدْ تَوَاطَأَتْ عَلَى السَّبْعِ الْأَوَاخِرِ فَمَنْ كَانَ مُتَحَرِّيَهَا فَلْيَتَحَرَّهَا فِي السَّبْعِ الْأَوَاخِرِ مِنْ رَمَضَانِ. It seems like your dreams are all agreeing that it's the last 7 nights. So those of you who want to look for it, may they look for it in the last 7 nights of Ramadan, which is what you have ahead of you. When he was asked by Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, Ya Rasulullah, أَرَأَيْتَنِي إِنْ أَدْرَكْتُهَا مَا أَقُولُ. If I end up witnessing Laylatul Qadr, if I'm praying through a night and I feel that this is it, then what is it that I should say? What's the best dua for me to say? So he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قولي اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فعفو عنا. You see, when the Kareem subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up the doors, you ask big. You go big. When he opens up his doors, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he offers you, you don't go small. You don't dream small. No, you dream big. You ask for the ultimate reward. You ask for afwa. You ask for a full pardon. Throughout the month, we ask for his compassion, subhanahu wa ta'ala, his forgiveness, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But on the night of Qadr, we ask for a pardon. Now, it's hard to get that. But that night specifically, it's worth the dream. It's worth asking for it. Now, you may wonder, what's the difference between the two? Oh, there's a big difference. Oh, there's a difference. I can tell you the difference is quite phenomenal. Very significant for you on the Day of Judgment, the difference between something forgiven and something pardoned. You see, forgiven is still written in your book. When those books come flying in the sky, and hopefully, inshallah, you take it in your right hand, say ameen. Then you turn to the pages and you're reading, and you see sins that are documented. But the stamp of forgiveness is on top of them. They're forgiven, but they're there. When you're told, اقرأ كتابك, when you're told, read your book, please. كفى بنفسك اليوم عليك حسيبا. Today, you're going to judge yourself. You're going to have to read them. You're going to have to read what's written in that book. You're going to have to read the sin and talk about it. It's forgiven, but you have to read it. You have to recite it back. Yeah, on this day, that's what I did. Don't have much of a good reason for it, but that's what I did. Seems like, alhamdulillah, Rabbi, you forgave it. Yeah, but you'll be reminded of it. You see, when you're pardoned, that doesn't happen. When your pardon doesn't exist in your book anymore, it's not written there. It's like it never happened. No. It never happened. Not only does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove it from your book, not only do the malaika who wrote it forget about it, not only do the people who witnessed it forget about it, not only those who had to deal with its consequences forget about it, by the time you're done your hisab, you forget about it. And the only one who knew that this ever happened is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, it never happened. It never happened. This is what afu is. Afu is a chance to get rid of everything. Remove it completely. It's not in your book anymore. Do you have sins that you wish you never did? Do you have sins that you don't want to come and talk about Yawm al-Qiyamah? You'd be very embarrassed if you had to read them out loud in front of anyone. It'd be very difficult to read it in front of someone that you knew, because you wouldn't want them to know that this was the case to begin with. If you have something like that in your life, then these are the nights. These are the nights because subhanahu wa ta'ala opened those doors. Open as wide as they'll ever be. And there's a good chance that you can get a pardon. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afu. You love to pardon. He loves to pardon, subhanahu wa ta'ala. It just has to be the right person at the right time. It has to be the right person. It has to be the right time. Fa'afu anna, grant us our pardon. And this is the value of the last 10 nights of Ramadan. He hid Laylatul Qadr within them so that you push yourself for 10 nights. You prove yourself a little bit. You show a certain degree, a certain intention, a certain commitment, a certain desire in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has hidden for you, has for you, Jalla Jalaluhu. See, Ramadan, in this last khutbah, Ramadan builds within us taqwa and closeness. That's the goal of it. He builds within you that system. You see, for a full month, you're living with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For a full month, you think about Allah a lot. In Ramadan, you can't deny it. You're always thinking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every movement of the day, there's something that's connecting you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're very connected to Allah within Ramadan. For a full month, you do that so that inshallah, you see the beauty of it. You see, the sweet nectar of being connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you taste in Ramadan, the goal is that you say, I don't want to lose this again. I would like this to continue for the rest of my life. So you continue it after. But that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made siyah obligatory. Kutiba alaykum. Why was it siyam kutiba alayna? La'allakum tattaqoon. So that you may finally see the beauty of taqwa, of being close, of always reminding yourself of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout your day, before your decisions, before your choices. And then you actually achieve that closeness, and it's beautiful. That's why if you keep on going to the end of the page in those verses in Ramadan, of Siyam, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. When my servants ask you about me, I am indeed near. I am near. I've always been. This is not just about Ramadan. I'm always near. But you'll learn about this in Ramadan. In this blessed month, you learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always there. He's near. He's always listening. Why lose that? It's not like He leaves you after Ramadan. We are the ones who walk away. It's not Him. He's still there, subhanahu wa ta'ala, as willing to listen to you as ever. The promise of response to your dua is the same. It's not gone. Nothing is changing. The only change is us. We're the ones who walk away. We're the ones who stop coming. We're the ones who stop praying Fajr in Jama'ah. We're the ones who stop praying Isha in Jama'ah. We're the ones who stop coming to the masjid and reciting the Qur'an and learning. It's us, not Him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to taste it here. See the beauty of being with me for a month. Why not continue like that? Why not continue like that? This is why I created you. Be close to me, and then we walk away. But Jalla Jalaluhu makes sure that every year there's a Ramadan. Because if you failed this year, just continue to do it, then I'll give you another chance next year. And I'll give you another chance next year. These chances that continue on from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He wants you close. He wants you near, subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's nothing else to think about in these last nights but that concept. Just contemplate that. He wants you near. That's the point of all of this. He had you live with Him for a month to feel the beauty. Stay with Him. You stay with Him for as long as you can, for the rest of your life, till the end. As the Prophet ﷺ, till the end, till that last moment, till the last breath, as you exhale it in the far future, inshallah. When you exhale that last breath, may it be exhaled with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming out with it. With La ilaha illallah moving with it, because you never stopped. Because when He opened His doors for you, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Ramadan, you never closed them. You stayed until the end. So renew your intentions today, brothers and sisters. Renew your intentions of what you started out this month wanting to do. I know you're tired. I know you're tired and you're hungry and you're thirsty and you're deprived of sleep. Don't complain to me, believe me. But that's fine. This is the few times in your life where your fatigue that you feel right now is ma'jur. I mean, you're getting reward for feeling the way you feel. You feel tired, you feel hungry and thirsty, you feel that you get ajr for it. Doesn't happen all the time. Not every time you're tired in life do you get hasanat for that. But as you sit here right now, tired, hungry, and thirsty, you are banking hasanat as you just sit there feeling that way. Because this ta'ab was for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even your fatigue is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you go to sleep because you're so tired, you get hasanat for that. This is what Ramadan does for you. This is what Ramadan offers you. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فاستغفروه يغفر لكم يا فوز المستغفرين استغفروا الله. الحمد لله وحده وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على من لا نبي بعده وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اتبع نهجه ووفى عهده. إخواني وأخواتي لا ينتهي رمضان حتى ينتهي شهر رمضان. ينتهي شهر رمضان بأذان المغرب من آخر يوم من أيامه، وحتى تلك اللحظة ما تزال أبواب السماء مفتوحة للراغبين فيما عند الله عز وجل، والمؤمن لا ييأس من روح الله ولا يقنط من رحمته سبحانه وتعالى، فيبقى واقفا على أعتاب ربه في أكناف مولاه جل جلاله حتى يؤذن للمغرب من آخر يوم من أيام رمضان. عسى الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يلحقه بركب المقبولين، عسى الله أن يلحقه بركب المعتقين من النار. هذا هو المطلوب. الإنسان لا يأس من روح ربه. قصرت في أول رمضان أو اجتهدت، لا فرق، ما دام هناك متسع من الوقت في رمضان، قف في محراب العبودية لربك سبحانه وتعالى، ولا تيأس. عساه سبحانه وتعالى يعطيك ما تريد. يا أخواني، هذا هو شهر رمضان. ما في يأس، ممنوع، هذا ممنوع في الدين. بقي منه أيام، بقي منه يوم، بقي منه ساعة، لعله قبل سبحانه وتعالى غيرنا قبلنا لأنهم اجتهدوا أكثر منا، لكن لا ندري في أي ساعة نكون فيها مقبولين عنده، لا ندري أي لحظة ندرك فيها القبول منه سبحانه وتعالى. فأحدنا يبقى واقفاً يبقى مجتهدا حتى يعلم أن شهر رمضان قد انقضى. والله وأحدنا ما يدري أيدرك شهر رمضان العام القادم أو لا. هناك منا اليوم من يستمعون إليه في هذه اللحظة، وهذه آخر خطبة يسمعونها في شهر رمضان. تفكر في هذه المسألة. لا أدري، لعله أكون أنا أو أنت، أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يطيل أعمارنا بالصالحات، لكن ما يدري أحد منا، وما تدري نفس ماذا تكسب غدا، وما تدري نفس بأي أرض تموت. الإنسان يموت ولا يدري أيحيا عاما، أيحيا يوما، أيحيا ساعة. اجتهدوا رحمكم الله فيما تبقى من هذا الشهر الفضيل. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام would spend a lot of time in Ramadan doing i'tikaf, especially in the last 10 nights. I'tikaf, the concept of coming and staying in the masjid until it's over. I don't think that it's possible anymore in the context that we have. I think it's very difficult. Some people can do it, most people can't. But what can be done is the concept being clear. I'tikaf, what it means, akafa ala shay, meaning you're focusing on something. You are not distracted by anything else. That's the word in the Quran, akifin, is used many times. Meaning you're totally focused, preoccupied, centralized about one thing. You're not thinking about anything else. And that's the concept of i'tikaf. You go to the masjid and you're only thinking of one thing. You care about one thing. It's like you're stamped with the word waqf on you. And the masalah that are stamped waqf, meaning they're only for the sake of Allah. They can't be sold. They can't be used for anything else. It's like you're stamping yourself, I am waqf. I am for the sake of Allah and only for the sake of Allah for these 10 nights. So whether you are actually sleeping and waking up inside of a masjid all day long, or you're going to work because you have a job and you need to take care of your family, you can have that concept. The concept of i'tikaf can be practiced even if you're not physically in a masjid all the time. All you have to do is say, I'm for the sake of Allah for these 10 nights. Nothing else. I'm not going to be focused on anything else. Everything else can wait. Everything else can wait. It has time for it. I am focused on my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything I say, everything I do, everything I want to achieve is just being closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because He opened His doors. It would be inappropriate and almost borderline disrespectful that He opens His doors and we don't care. But we don't need what He has subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're not requiring what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is offering. When the generous one opens the doors, all those who are in need stand in line. They get up and they stand in line, they stay there until the doors close. If they truly want what the Kareem has, and the Kareem would never turn someone back. If you're standing up, if you're standing in line waiting for your turn, you're not going to sit down until the end. It's impossible that the generous one not give you. Impossible. This doesn't happen in the world that we live in. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most generous. You stand in line for what He has subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He will not deprive you of it. Yarwi al-Imam al-Bukhari قال عن ابن عمر فرض رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم زكاة الفطر صاعا من تمر أو صاعا من شعير على الحر والعبد والذكر والأنثى والصغير والكبير من المسلمين من أداها قبل الصلاة فهي زكاة مقبولة ومن أداها بعدها فهي صدقة من الصدقات. We're told here that the Prophet ﷺ made obligatory upon the Muslims, free or slave, male or female, young or old, sa' min tamr or sa' min sha'ir. It's $15 today. It's equivalent of 15 bucks today. That should be given out before Salat al-Eid. If it's done after Salat al-Eid, it's still wajib, you still have to give it, but you lose the ajr of Zakat al-Fitr. The majority of madhahib are okay with you starting giving it almost now. The vast majority of madhahib are fine with you starting giving your zakat al-fitr today. So this is a reminder to all of you to do that. If you're, especially for this is for the men specifically, or majority goes for the men. If you're a family, if you have a family, you're responsible for giving zakat al-fitr for your family. Your wife isn't, you are. You count the number of people in your family. If your wife is pregnant, you count the pregnancy as well, especially if it's over 4 months. And even if it's not, I would say it's only 15 bucks, count it anyway. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us more than we will ever need. The condition of Zakat al-Fitr is that you just have enough food for the day. See, zakah, when you actually pay zakah, you need the sab. You need a couple of $1,000 in your bank account sitting there for a year so you can pay zakah. But Zakat al-Fitr, you just need enough food for the day. You have enough food for the day? Allah, then you're good for Zakat al-Fitr. And you pay it to those Ibn Abbas tells us, فَرَضَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ زَكَاةَ الْفِطْرِ طُهْرَةً لِلصَّائِمِ مِنَ اللَّغْوِ وَالرَّفَثِ. He made it obligatory as an act of purification for the fasting of those who fasted from all of the things they said wrong and things they did wrong during their fasting. All the mistakes that we make during our fasting, as we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept it, Zakat al-Fitr is to purify. It's to purify our fasting. It's like to make up for all of the mistakes and sins and lack of adherence to the actual way of fasting. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this fard. وَطُعْمَةً لِلْمَسَاكِينَ. And to help the miskeen. And to help someone. يعني, to make sure that Muslims around the world and their children can also enjoy Eid. A lot of them don't. A lot of them don't. Their children can't enjoy it. They don't have new clothes. They don't have enough money to go buy what their friends are buying. They can't run around and have a good time like everyone else. In an ummah of 2 billion people, I can't imagine how that's acceptable. I just can't. I just can't wrap my head around it. I can't see the logic in it. I can't see why that is the case. There's more wealth in this ummah than ever before, historically. This is the wealthiest this ummah has ever been. How is it that some of our children are going to get up on the day of Eid with jealousy in their hearts, with a broken heart because they don't have what they want and their parents can't do anything about it? You see, we celebrate. Please understand this. Please teach this to your children. We celebrate through giving. That's how we celebrate. We don't celebrate by taking, by accepting gifts. We celebrate by giving. That's how we celebrate. When you come to the Eid al-Fitr, when you come to that Eid, you celebrate it by giving. Before you go for Salat al-Eid, you give. You make sure that someone is happy. You make sure that someone enjoys their day because of you. That's how you celebrate, by giving someone. You do the same thing at Eid al-Adha. You slaughter, you feed. You make sure someone's going to eat that day. Meat, something that not everyone gets to eat all the time. This is the concept that we have in Islam. When we celebrate, we give. We give. These are the nights. Give. And Zakat al-Fitr should be the least that we're doing. The least. Yani the smallest amount. Adds up. Yani, what is it? What does it add up to? 60, 100 bucks, depending on how big your family is. Give as much as you can. Make sure. Let's try and make sure, at least locally, and maybe in places that are obviously affected by catastrophes and by disasters and by war, that we don't let people get up for the morning of Eid and feel less than everyone else. It's just not the right way. I don't know how we can enjoy it. I don't know how we can wake up on Eid and go out and enjoy ourselves knowing that there are others out there who aren't. And it doesn't take that much for them to be that. For them to enjoy, it doesn't take that much. It's not that much of an investment. Just a little bit of collaboration, a little bit of generosity. Show generosity during these days and nights, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show you the same. He will show you the same. It's impossible. You can't out give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the point. This is what the Sahaba understood. That if you do something good, you can't compete with God. You can't compete with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you're being really good, it's impossible. He's going to let you, okay, you ahead, go ahead, be good. And no, if you're good, he'll be better. مَنْ تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ شِبْرًا تَقَرَّبْتُ إِلَيْهِ ذِرَاعًا وَمَنْ أَتَانِي يَمْشِي أَتَيْتُهُ هَرْوَلًا. If you come close to me, a couple of meters, I'll come a couple of kilometers close to you. If you come walking to me, I'll come running to you. جَلَّ جَلَالُ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. There's no, it's all metaphorical, obviously. But this is what he's explaining to us. You just show me you're good and I'll show you better. I'll show you better. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us our good deeds of Ramadan and grant us the joy of the day of Eid. I hope that was of benefit to you. At the end, just a few reminders. So there's a survey. The QR code is still up there. Please fill it out if you haven't already. And please distribute it to your family members that aren't people who are regulars at a masjid. Make sure you get it to them. We don't serve them very well in our institutions. I've been here for 10 years now. We don't do a very good job in reaching out to Muslims who don't find it comfortable coming to a masjid, who lost their way a while ago. We need to know who they are, where they are, what their problems are. This survey is to offer us a little bit of a census. Please fill it out in your family And then it's for each family, one person fills out the survey and then send it to those and encourage them to do the same so that we can gather this data. We can share it. There's no personal information being taken about it. We're not trying to figure out where you live. We just want to know who it is, who we have here, how many people, what their demographics are, and how we can better serve them. So please take some time and do that. Jazakumullah khair, and distribute it to people around you. Most likely, Eid al-Fitr is going to be Friday. That's the most likely case. Unless not one country in the world sees the Hilal, it's going to be Friday. The council has already put out the poster last night. So if it is, there's a few things. First of all, Eid will not occur in this masjid. Okay? Do not ask me the question. We will never. Not now, not in 100 years. We will never have Eid in this masjid. Second thing is that on Friday, whenever Eid comes on Friday, you don't have to pray both. The majority of scholars are okay with you praying just one of them. Preferably Eid. If you miss Eid, then you will pray Jumu'ah. And if you miss Eid, then you find a place to pray Jumu'ah. Most likely, I won't run a Jumu'ah here. Most likely. Because there'll be other centers that are running Jumu'ah, so you can go attend there if you miss Eid. That's the most likely case if it's going to be on Friday. We will update you if there's any changes, but that's the most likely case. We will pray Eid. I myself will go to the convention center that's going to have the largest gathering of Muslims, and we should all, inshallah, go there as well. There will be some indoor Eid. I don't know exactly the timings of them yet. I will share it throughout the nights of Ramadan, inshallah, that are coming. But there will be Eid done in smaller centers, so you can attend those if you don't want to go to the larger ones. But it's preferable, it's sunnah, to go to the largest gathering of Eid that exists. And that's what we should be aiming for. As Muslims in one city, we should always try and perform Eid together. The togetherness of Eid is what makes it beautiful and what makes it yani valuable. So I just want to share that with you. وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَنَا بِأَمْرٍ عَظِيمٍ فَقَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد وارض اللهم عن الأربعة الخلفاء السادة الحنفاء أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وارض اللهم عن أزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وعن آله الطيبين الطاهرين وعن صحابته الغر الميامين وعن التابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وعنا معهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم فرج هموم المهمومين ونفس كروب المكروبين وارفع الغم عن المغمومين وارفع الظلم عن المظلومين واحقن دماءنا ودماء المسلمين اللهم رد المسجد الأقصى إلى رحاب المسلمين وانصر إخواننا المرابطين فيه يا رب العالمين ردنا أجمعين إليك وإلى دينك ردا جميلا اللهم بارك لنا فيما تبقى من شهر رمضان اللهم بارك لنا فيما تبقى من شهر رمضان وفقنا فيه إلى الصيام وإلى القيام وإلى غض البصر وحفظ اللسان اكتبنا أجمعين ممن يدرك ليلة القدر اللهم اجعلنا أجمعين ممن يدرك ليلة القدر واكتب لنا فيها الثواب والأجر واكتبنا فيها من عتقائك من النار اللهم أعد علينا رمضان أعواما عديدة وأزمنة مديدة والإسلام في عز والمسلمون ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم